Buffenbarger.
Hello, world. Episode 149. I hope I didn't miscount that, but we're pretty close there for the TJSlideways.com podcast. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, co-host Trevor Hollis on assignment this evening. Coming to you live from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with the podcast via Twitter at TJ Slideways, Facebook for TJSlideways.com, also via email podcast at TJSlideways.com. And don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, go ahead and subscribe, rate the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. Later on in the program, we're going to have a nice conversation with 2016 Fremont Speedway Track Champion Brock Martin. Very interesting young man, as he's got a different opportunity in 2017 he's going to talk about, and also help us preview the opener at Attica Raceway Park on Friday. And Ohio listeners should be happy, as you are the largest audience that we have for the website and the podcast. We have more users from Ohio than anywhere else in the world. So this weekend should be heaven for you. The mall shows are over. All the hoopla is gone. It's time to go racing. A little different twist, though, on opening weekend this year. Of course, we have the Attica Raceway Park opener on Friday night. Rex LeJune and company and John Boers, everyone over there, is going to be rolling out the red carpet to welcome everyone back for the 2017 season. And then on Saturday, it's like we get an old friend back. And the old friend has a lot of shiny new clothes. It's the Mansfield Motor Speedway reopening as dirt. And this is going to be something. Wing sprint cars, late models, non-wing sprint cars, pretty hefty purse on Saturday. So a great racing weekend in Ohio, ready to start out. It's going to be quite a deal. The Mansfield deal is obviously getting most of the attention at this point. It's probably for what appears to be, from all intents and purposes, a soft opening to get ready for some bigger events later in the year. This is a very good idea to run these three races, I believe, before they get into the heart of summer when they get some sanctioning bodies in there and start running some really big races, including a massive sprint car show in August. But these three shows are great opportunities for teams, great purses, should be a neat outing. From all I've heard, people have been there in the past year, the place is palatial. I can't wait to see it. I'm hoping to get over there in the next couple of weeks. I can't get out of town this week, but I'm hoping to make it there sometime in the next 3 weeks to check out the facility, because I haven't been there since Ohio Speed Week in 1988. And to put it nicely, it was not all that nice. And I'm thinking that it's a wee bit better by the pictures I've seen now. When people use the terms palatial, I'm kind of intrigued. So hopefully everything goes off well. A little wrinkle in this could be, though, that Attica's rain date has traditionally been Saturday night for the early season shows, and it is again. So we could end up, if Mother Nature doesn't play nice on Friday, a couple of shows head-to-head, but I don't think it'll be that big of an issue. It's going to be plenty of cars to go around for both places, and I expect to see big car counts at both tracks with surprises. Depending on the weather, it could be some really interesting cars from the East Coast coming over, even some from further west. It's going to be really interesting to see who shows up in Ohio this weekend. For our non-wing listeners in Indiana, No Way Out 40 weekend, which to me is one of the biggest, if not biggest, non-sanctioned non-wing sprint car races in Indiana. And because everyone's anxious to race, this is one of the ones you've got to see. And I expect another huge car count over there at Brownstown Speedway on Saturday. Another great event getting ready. Hopefully the weather plays nice for them, because they've had to run on Sunday a couple times. I'd like to see a decent weather situation for them and see what this event could really do, because I mean, it always hovers around 50 cars. Everything's great, man. Who knows what they could end up with there. And last week's guest on the show, Ryan Bernal, going to be part of the field there. Winner of three of his last four features, picked up one of the two wins with the USAC West Coast Sprint Cars in California. He's going to be out there in Michael Dutcher's car. So it'll be good to see him back in the Midwest, and be interesting to see how that plays out. So just around here alone, a busy weekend. I mean, think about central Pennsylvania. You could, in theory, see three races in 2 days. depending on how quick you can get your way out of Lincoln Speedway, depending on when they finish, and how efficient Port Royal is. The start times are far enough apart. 90-minute drive, you might be able to pull it off. But just if you're doing that, please drive safe. It's going to be kind of crazy to get to both those places, but get there safely and just be smart about it. But it should be interesting to see the weather looking a little bit better in central PA. The snow is gone. So hopefully they'll be able to get a few races in. The Grove hasn't raced yet this year. Lincoln really has, for Lincoln, has been hit pretty hard. And they'll be now at the port opening this week. Should be interesting as they were under enough snow that that thing was done on Thursday. Probably could have been called earlier. But I love the Central Pennsylvania optimism. So I was kind of glad they waited until Thursday. And one of the bigger surprises to me is how Michael Pickens, who was on the show a few weeks ago, doesn't have an American ride yet. Third sweep of the midget sprint car features at Western Springs Speedway. I don't know what more you have to do to pick up a ride in the U.S. for 2017. Hopefully someone, at least for midget week, gets the guy a car. But I'd love to see him in a wing sprint car here, too. I'd love to see what he could do with a halfway decent wing car here. And then congrats to Sam Hapertape Jr. What a way to start the season, sweeping Devil's Bowl with the ASDS National Tour. And they're going to be back in the neighborhood this year. A couple of shows in Indiana. And I'm telling you, it was an eye-opener last year. We don't get to see them around here very often. You need to go see an ASDS National show if you haven't been to one yet. Very neat program. I can't wait for them to come back to the area. Already on my schedule. Looking forward to seeing it later on in the season. But next up, we're going to have our interview with Brock Martin. Nice young man from Worcester, Ohio. And when you think Worcester, you don't necessarily think Northwest Ohio, but that's what he's been doing the past couple of years, your Fremont Speedway track champion. And had a nice sit-down conversation with him. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Brock Martin. You're listening to the TJ Slideways podcast. Hello, everyone. TJ Buffenbarger from TJSlideways.com. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for listening to the podcast, reading the website for the past 21 seasons. Of course, we have some great sponsors that make all of this possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Musty Racing, Slade Shock Technology, and Specialty Fuels and Logistics. Make sure to go on the website, click the banners, support the people that support us in the rest of motorsports. Now for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Worcester, Ohio is a place well known for sprint car racing, and one of the newer drivers out of that area is also your Fremont Speedway track champion for 2016, has some different plans for this year, has some exciting news. Brock Martin, glad you could take time out to join us before everything gets rolling this season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, TJ.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the opportunity you have for 2017. You're going to be behind the wheel of a different race car. Why don't you tell us about what your plans are and how that opportunity came about?
I'm actually getting an opportunity to race the 97 car that's been around for years up in Northwest Ohio. It's owned by Joe Sealing. Last year, he approached me towards the end of the year, and I was lucky enough to race a few times with him. We had some pretty good outings at Fremont, and a decent one, too, down at Atomic with the All-Stars at the end of the year. And we just kind of decided to just keep it going this year. And right now, I don't think we have any game plan to run for points anywhere. I think we're going to kind of hit and miss shows all around, which I'm kind of looking forward to. I mean, I love racing at Fremont. It's my favorite racetrack, but I'm looking forward to kind of branching out a little bit more and touching some different tracks. But I'll be probably majority of my time, though, will still be up in Northwest Ohio.
That brings me to the next question. What is this going to open up for you to do that maybe you haven't done before? Is there any place you're going to get the visit that you haven't been able to take your own car to?
I think that's definitely an opportunity. You know, obviously with Mansfield opening up fairly close, I don't know if we'll get out there right away at the start of the year, but I'm hoping maybe we can sneak in a few shows there throughout the year. And at the same time, you know, even places like Millstream that I haven't been to, and Eldora is another place. And, you know, it can really lead about anywhere, I think, in the state of Ohio. So I'm hoping to get some opportunities maybe to run with the All-Stars a little bit more throughout Ohio with Joe. But really, we don't really have a game plan right now, so it's just kind of a week-by-week kind of thing.
And are you going to backfill with your family-owned effort at all, or are you pretty much going to focus on the ceiling car at this point?
Yeah, that's kind of the game plan. You know, if Joe has a weekend where he wants to take off or not race, you know, we definitely have been getting our cars ready to roll for the start of the year. So we actually have one car that's pretty much race-ready, ready to go, and another one that should be hopefully completed in the next probably a couple weeks or so here too. So, you know, on those off weekends, my dad, he's going to be definitely itching to get out. He's not the type to just kind of stand around and watch. So I'm definitely looking forward to still filling the seat of our family car too as well.
I try to tell people what Ohio's like this time of year, because it seems like the sprint car season amps up. It has this big buildup. There's the mall shows and all the attention leading in. Do you guys feel that as race teams, with all these events and stuff that start compounding that lead up to this opening weekend?
Oh yeah, I think so. I think that happens quite a bit. It's a little bit different, I think, because I'm, even though I race in Northwest Ohio, being kind of from the Worcester area, which is about, you know, I'm about an hour and 15 from Attica and about 2 hours from Fremont, I don't get maybe that flavor that they get up there. But at the same time, you know, with social media now, you see the new cars out there. You see them at the mall shows. And really, in Northwest Ohio, they really embrace sprint car racing. So I might not get the full feel of the excitement, but I can guarantee this much. Friday night at Attica, it'll come back and hit me pretty well.
I was going to bring that up. You're from Worcester, and when I think of Worcester, Ohio, I think Wayne County Speedway, Western Pennsylvania. People have succeeded there. You don't hear that in Fremont Speedway track champion together that often in that sentence. What kind of drew you to start running in the Northwest Ohio area on a weekly basis?
Well, when I first initially started, we actually ran mostly in Western PA at Mercer and Sharon, and then when Wayne County reopened, I did quite a bit of racing there too as well for a couple years. And I think, you know, for us, you know, obviously there's a great amount of talent in Western PA and a ton of talent even at Wayne County. But when it comes down to it, Attica and Fremont produces some of the best talent in the nation, let alone the best talent in Ohio. And I think for us, it was all about just getting better. And we knew initially when we went up to Attica and Fremont that it was going to be rough for us. And it was. I mean, we had a lot of nights where we didn't even make the feature or we finished deep in the field. But we just kind of kept working at it. And sooner or later, you know, we started running well. And Fremont is a place that I've taken a liking to and have excelled at. And to be honest with you, Attica is kind of a place where I've been up and down. I've had some really good runs there and I've had some really awful runs there. So if I can get a little more consistent there at Attica, I feel like, you know, one of these years I can make a run maybe at the fast title. But for us really to just initially get up there, it was basically just the main thing was challenging ourselves.
Brock Martin joining us on the line. Brock, leading into this opening weekend, when you got the call from Joe Sealing, what was it like when you get the call from a car that wants you to drive their race car after having a family effort? What is that moment like?
It was pretty unreal, to be honest with you, because I've known Joe for the last couple years and all the guys like Ron and Floyd and JR who work on the car weekly. And, you know, I never would have guessed that Joe would have, you know, called me up and asked me to do it. And it's tough, to be honest with you, because you know, I spend so much time with my parents, racing with my parents and my buddies, Matt and Lane, who help out on the car. You know, to kind of step away from that is difficult, but at the same time, it's a huge help for us. You know, I mean, obviously racing is a huge financial burden. But when an opportunity comes like that, you really have to take the chance with it. And at the same time, I was grateful that Joe even considered me to fill the seat.
When you look at these early season events, we have these races that start way earlier than a lot of other places in the country. Do you have to do anything different with the race car? What do you have to be careful of when we're in March like this, early April? The weather's pretty volatile. Is there anything in particular you have to pay attention to not end up putting yourself in a bad position later in the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely, you know, a lot of times the tracks this time of year hold a lot more moisture. I think from, even though we haven't had a ton of snowfall down here in Ohio this year, a lot of that, you know, adds obviously to the clay. And at the same time, you know, this time of year we get a lot of cold nights and there's not a lot of sun that ever comes out to really dry racetracks up. So, you know, a lot of times they're quick this time of the year. So you have to obviously have the right setup in and make sure, you know, you have a car that can handle and is free. And at the same time, even though it's probably not a huge impact on places like Attica and Fremont where it's smaller, you know, fueling cars becomes important. You know, I don't know if they continue to do it, but they used to have the race at Eldora in April, which the nights are still cool. And, you know, you used to have guys that would produce an unbelievable amount of horsepower just because the conditions were right. So, you know, all those kind of come into effect. And I think it is so important. You know, last year, some of my success, luckily, at Fremont came from the fact that we had such a great start to the year. And if you're running for points, and really even if you're not, it's always good to get off on the right foot, in my opinion. It seems like once you start getting that ball rolling, the momentum going in the right direction, it really pays off later on down the road. So, yeah, I try to just kind of approach the first race of the year like any other night. But I think deep down inside, you always want to get off to a good start.
You're a younger guy, and when you win a track championship at Fremont, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance with that, and the Hall of Fame being there at the racetrack and everything. How interesting was that to you to be part of that? Because I know they do the ceremony with the past track champions, lots of photo ops and stuff, but being able to win that, what was taking part in those historical type things like?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, I think, you know, out of any kind of award I've ever been able to receive in my life, that the Hall of Fame trophy really means the most to me. It's unbelievable when you look at the Hall of Fame trophy. It has all the past champions from Fremont since Fremont was basically created. And, you know, to have your name on there with some of the lenders and Byron Reed and Al Franks and guys like that, it's and the mini list guys too. It's remarkable, to be honest with you. I think a lot of times it's sank in, but at the same time it still hasn't. And, you know, it might not sink in for years. I know the day I was up there and they had the Hall of Fame ceremony with past champions. I mean, just to look at the trophy and see your name beside those guys was pretty remarkable and was definitely an amazing feeling.
And you win a championship in a very well-known sprint car area like that. When you go to places in the off-season, like you go to PRI and you go to all these places, how much did that elevate your profile?
Oh, I think it helped quite a bit. You know, I think with it being at Fremont and just how well-known Fremont is, you know, obviously in Ohio and even nationally, I think a lot of people, you know, recognized my name a little bit more than what they ever have, to be honest with you. And it was kind of surprising because I was always a guy that just was kind of hung under the radar a little bit. I mean, we had some wins. But you know, nothing as big as winning the Fremont championship. So I think, you know, it's definitely helped kind of propel my name a little bit more, especially in the Ohio region. And I think, you know, hopefully some great things can continue to build from this success.
You mentioned though, that you have struggled a little bit at Attica and that's where the first race of the season is. So you have an off season to contemplate it. What do you feel you have to do to go better at that particular facility?
You know, I think a lot of it for me is trying to adjust with the conditions, especially at Attica. You know, a lot of times I'll be the first to admit I've struggled on tracks that get very slick at times. And, you know, I've been lucky enough with Fremont. A lot of times Fremont develops a pretty good ledge, and I like running the ledge at Fremont. So, you know, for me, the hardest thing with Attica is adjusting the nights when it doesn't have a ledge and you have to be maybe a little smoother and baby the throttle a little bit more. So, you know, a lot of that just comes down to, I think, mental preparation and just going through and kind of visualizing, to be honest with you, what you do each corner and just and make that a consistent pattern. So when you actually are behind the car or behind the wheel of the car, you just fall into that same routine. So, you know, a lot of it's just kind of going back to those things. You know, at the same time, my mom, she actually films all of my races usually. So a lot of times the week leading up to a race, I'll pull up a some footage from an old race and just kind of watch that and try to learn as much as I possibly can. So it really comes down to that. It's just trial and error and just putting in seat time at those places to really improve there.
5 years from now, still in the sea of a sprint car, where do you want to see yourself as a sprint car driver in 5 years?
You know, I mean, I think anyone that gets involved with the sport always has those dreams of racing with the World of Outlaws or racing with the All-Stars. And don't get me wrong, those are still a very big part of my dreams. But for me, realistically, if I could just even one day be a guy like Byron Reed or Craig Mintz, where when the Outlaws come to town or the All-Stars come to town, they know that's one guy they have to beat. To be honest with you, I'd be perfectly fine with that. You know, those are definitely guys that I look up to and aspire to, but maybe even a little bit more than guys like Donnie Schatz, just because, you know, they live the normal weekly warrior lifestyle that I live. So maybe it seems a little more attainable for someone like myself. But, yeah, if I could just become one of those guys where when the traveling guys come to town, they know they have to beat him, I would be totally satisfied with that.
Well, Brock, as a younger guy, we're really glad to have you involved in the sport. Thanks for taking time out to join us, and best of luck this weekend over at Attica.
Hey, thanks, TJ, and thanks for having me.
Brock Martin. Great conversation with Brock Martin. Wish him the best with the upcoming 2017 season. Just a couple closing notes. This weekend's podcast, don't forget the fundraiser for Mick Brooks, one of the two people injured in that horrifying incident at Volusia Speedway Park, taking place at Pins at in Kalamazoo, Michigan, Sunday, March 26th. 2:00 p.m. It's also Kalamazoo Speedway's meet and greet. And, you know, I'm sure they'd welcome a few of our faces there to help with a great cause. Mick being air ambulanced back to a rehab facility in Kalamazoo. And the family's going to need all the help they can get. So make sure to go out and support that. And on that note, I'd like to remind everyone that we would also appreciate you taking a moment to subscribe to the podcast. Listen via iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play Store and give us a rating. Go ahead and give us a review if you feel the need. We'd love to hear your feedback on the program. And it's really, I know there's been racing on the West Coast and indoors for a while, for a few weeks now, and we're so deep into the Australia stuff that at times I wake up Saturday morning at 5 a.m. to catch the classic on pay-per-view or something from Sydney, because heck, I want to see as much as anyone. But it really feels like it's getting going now. When the Ohio races kick off, you get the No Way Out 40, you get the Attica opener. That, to me, is like where it really starts in earnest at this point. It really feels like things are getting rolling in it. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be a very interesting season. There's a lot of very interesting things going on. In a few weeks, I get to take in probably what I find is going to be the most fascinating division to follow all year, which is the USAC National Midget Car Series, with Justin Grant winning the Shamrock Classic down in Southern Illinois Center, now leading the USAC Sprint and Midget Points. But the Midgets in particular, the two super teams, so many competitors seem like they're going to follow the entire tour this year. It's going to be really fascinating to watch that, one of the strongest Midget series for USAC that we've seen in quite a while. And I'm kind of anxious to get down to Kokomo in a few weeks to go and check that out. But for now, Attica, Mansfield, Central PA, No Way Out 40, some major races in the area about to take place. And we look forward to seeing you at the track very soon. I can't really get out of town this week, but hopefully in the next 2 weeks I'll be able to get out to the track, see all of your faces. If you see me at the racetrack, go ahead and pull me aside. Always like to say hi to our listeners and stuff and see what's going on. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Thank you and good night. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Flyblaze podcast.